Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sorry we're late today, guys. I don't know who this show was before us, but they went a little long. I don't want to blame it on you.
No, we would never.
I was trying to blame it on the other show.
Yeah, we want to blame it on the other show. I think the Avs deserve blame.
The Avs?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. All right,
what's going on, everybody? Welcome into the DNBA show, the DNVR Nuggets podcast. We are presented by Bet365, Never Ordinary. I'm Harrison Wind, and I got my guy, Andre Simone, back again twice in 1 week, back-to-back days.
Incredible.
Helping me fill in, and I don't know when those other guys are getting back, but hopefully soon.
We hope for tomorrow. Yeah, if not, I'll be joining on the pre and post game. Huh? Stay tuned. That'll be great.
If you guys could see in the private messaging on the DNVR Slack currently, my last message, is anyone back for the show today? No response.
Wow. That's the way to play it, yeah. For sure.
Thanks for joining me again today.
It's always a pleasure, Harrison. Absolutely. I'm ready to improve on my performance from yesterday.
That should be fairly easy to do.
No doubt. We set a low standard.
Just kidding. You were great yesterday.
Not my best work. I think that's fair.
We do have a lot to go over. I just came from Nuggets practice about a couple hours ago. Got some notes from Nuggets practice. Got some insight.
Yes.
Got some perspective on where Mike Malone and, you know, the Nuggets heads are at as they ramp up for this stretch run after the All-Star break, which begins tomorrow.
Yep.
Thursday against the Wizards. We've also got a Bet365 top five that I'm excited for.
Yes.
We're talking about, is Nikola Jokic the unquestioned face of Denver sports right now? And also got a lot of good mailbag questions as well, including, could the Nuggets host the All-Star game soon? I don't know if you saw this. The NBA actually came out with some requirements for hosting the All-Star game.
There's
specific requirements that each city has to hit in order to be eligible to host.
I can't wait to find out if we're worthy.
I'll tell you. Strong takes
if we're not.
Yeah, I will tell you. So we got a lot to get to. The first order of business, though.
Yeah.
I announced this on the DNVR Nuggets Twitter a few minutes ago. Tomorrow is a very special day. It's true. We're actually making an official holiday, an official day in the calendar.
This is so great.
It's triple double day.
It is.
Thursday, February 22nd, triple double day, 222, triple double.
Oh, man.
And it just so happens, Andre, that the Nuggets are playing the Washington Wizards tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the Washington Wizards are the only team that Nikola Jokic does not have a triple-double against in his career.
Have you talked to the big man about this?
I have not.
I wonder why it is the Wizards. Well, he only plays them twice a year.
Do you think it's
doesn't get up for those games, maybe.
Stout front court defenders, the bruisers, at center that, you know, just have stymied Nikola Jokic at every turn and prevented him from the triple-double? No, you don't think it's that?
I guess it's more like there's a nice Serbian restaurant in D.C. with, like, good rakia. And those road games in our nation's capital get a little tricky the next day. That would be more my guess, you know? Or maybe he doesn't like a 5 p.m. mountain start. You know, these guys, mountain time zone, you're used to playing out west. We're on like a Pacific time zone. They're used to playing late, not used to peaking so early. You know, I could see it would be more factors like that that I would. Or the Wizards have been so bad during Jokic's career, they just doesn't get up for it. They're blowouts and he's hitting the bench a little early.
You might be onto something with the food.
Yeah, huh?
Because
I know,
I will tell you this. We went to, like, one of the best restaurants I've been to. I had the greatest meal of my life in Serbia. Kale was there in Belgrade at this restaurant called Ambar.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not even kidding. It was the best meal of my life, mostly because they rolled out the red carpet for us. Like, we got, you know, the chef-curated 10-course meal.
Those were the days, Harrison.
It was incredible, but they do have, it's either an Ambar or a restaurant owned by the same guy who owns Ambar. It is actually Ambar. In D.C. They have one in D.C. I think it's the only U.S. location.
Yeah.
So maybe you're onto that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
like I know where every Italy is in the continental United States. Some things you're just dialed in on when that's your culture. The food's pretty damn important. Harrison instantly knows about Italy. You know man. You know your eats.
I have a confession to make. When we were in Paris, we went to Italy.
Oh.
Over the summer.
That's an homage. That's an homage. That tells you everything you need to know.
Italy, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Kind of underrated for a chain like that.
Not bad at all. But not the best meal you've ever had.
No, the best meal I ever had was at Ambar.
Right. Which you can find in D.C.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, man. We should have sent you to this game.
Doesn't they've already been in D.C.
Next time they play in D.C., we'll do a little wink-wink deal where we fly you out and we don't ask any questions and you go to eat at Ambar.
Yeah. But it is triple-double day tomorrow, Thursday, 2:22.
Yeah.
They're playing the Wizards, who are terrible. They're 9-45.
Yep.
The Wizards are on a 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8 game losing streak.
It's not
that's
great.
What they entered the break with. Do you even know who their starting center is now that Daniel Gafford is no longer on the roster?
Oof. No, you stumped me.
It's Marvin Bagley III.
Wow.
Their backup center, though, funny enough, Nuggets killer Rashawn Holmes.
Okay.
Who they got in the trade for Gafford from Dallas. But we'll see. Nikola Jokic, he has triple doubles against 29 of the 30 teams. That
like
one team is the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like destiny to me. I mean, it feels like this is definitely happening.
I want to find the odds for this at this point. I want to see how
likely
Bet365
for a triple double tomorrow.
This is happening. Yep.
Do you think Nikola knows about this or will know about it or hear about it before the start of this game tomorrow? I think he might hear about it.
He might hear about it. I mean, geez, promote this podcast and he might actually hear about it. I feel like outside of our bubble, there's not a ton of people talking about it.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Well,
am I stuck in our bubble?
This is the first anybody's ever talked about
it. There you go. I don't know, man. I feel like Yoke's not thinking this way. Plus 165 to get a triple-double. So
is that about normally what the line is?
I think lately it's even gone more to the low plus 200. So I think this is actually shorter odds than we've found the last couple weeks of the regular season.
Okay. So plus 165. I feel like it's kind of destiny for him to get it. I think he'll know about it before the game. I'm sure we'll try to make a big enough deal of it where he knows about it.
There you go.
Now I'm going to be relying on Vlatko to
whisper it in his ear in Serbian before the game.
Come on, Vlaco, you can do this for
us. I feel
us.
Like that's how he'd know about it. But
now
we'll
I want to find
see.
Out what other all-time greats have a triple-double against every single team.
That's like, a great
Jason
question, Andre.
Does Jason Kidd have this?
That's
does
a
Magic
great question.
Have it? Has Larry done it? Where's the Big O fall on this? You know, I'm sure Wilt's done it. Wilt's done everything.
That's a great question, Andre, and I know the answer.
No. No.
I do.
Get out of here.
I do know the answer.
Stop it.
Two guys have done it already. Two guys have done it. Two guys in NBA history have a triple-double against every NBA team.
LeBron's one.
LeBron is one. You can probably guess the other.
It's Will. It's Will. I no, said no. Wilt's done everything.
It's
Shit.
Not Will. It is not Will.
The Big O? Oscar no. Robertson?
You're thinking too hard. It's the guy who has the most triple-doubles in NBA history. Russell Westbrook.
Oh, duh. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So Westbrook, I believe Westbrook and LeBron guys. Are the only two players to have triple-doubles against every NBA team. 30 for 30. So I mean, Jokic can join them tomorrow on triple-double day.
Of all the great things he does, the efficiency close to the hoop, being one of the greatest passers of all time, the way he impacts the game in those three areas, he's a triple-double king. I think it's just part of that legacy, you know. So it's going to be cool to see. I'd love to see him do it.
Yeah. So we want to make this a thing. So, you know, hashtag it on Twitter, triple-double day. Yep. Let the people know. I'm hyped for this. Like, this is going to be, look, they're playing the Wizards tomorrow. They're a 15-point favorite. This should be a nice win to get back on track. Right. But, I mean, to me, this is a storyline. Can he get the triple-double tomorrow? So,
hey,
we need everybody to alert the world about this event.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, like I said, the Nuggets did have practice today. They had practice yesterday as well. Yesterday was an evening practice, Tuesday night. Today they practiced at their normal time.
Yeah, you've seen two practices since we last spoke on yesterday's pod.
Yes.
Vibes.
Vibes are good.
Good.
Vibes are good. I would say that Michael Malone is, he had a very serious tone to him at Tuesday's practice, their first one back from the All-Star break. And I put that out on Twitter. You know, he was very serious. He wants to hit the ground running. And some people replied to me like, oh, isn't that just always how Malone is?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, yes, to an extent. But in general, I feel like Michael Malone's been more relaxed this year than he was last year. Noticeably more relaxed and less just uptight than he usually is. The championship probably helps a little with that.
That's right.
Takes some pressure off his shoulders. He just got the contract extension, too. But he seems very serious and very locked in. I think he wants to get that three-game losing streak out of his head as quickly as possible.
Right.
And, you know, he spoke a lot today on, like, prioritizing health down the stretch and making sure that our starting five is ready to go for the playoffs when we get there. But I also do think that he really wants to win these first couple games out of the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the Wizards and Portland.
Right.
Back-to-back Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Two games that they should win easily.
Yeah, you better.
And my prediction is that, look, they could just blow those two teams out and it won't really be a thing. But my prediction is if, like, those games are close at all, Michael Malone is playing his starters heavy minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's trimming the bench. I think he's going to do what he needs to do to get two wins right off the bat.
Is that more to get the team rolling? Is it more to put pressure on those other three teams that are right there with the Nuggets in the standings vying for that one seed? It's a bit of a combination of both. Is it to kind of get some wins out the way now so that we can get some rest later on?
Yeah, I think it's just to get back on track. That'd be the number one priority.
Get some momentum going in the second half. Yeah.
Just to get the vibes back.
Makes sense, man.
Get good momentum and just get some, not that the Nuggets are lacking confidence, but just get the swagger back that, you know, we're the first, we're the reigning champs. You know, a little reminder of that.
100%.
And, you know, just to kind of go on that, he also talked about the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him straight up.
Yeah, that seemed really interesting.
I go, look, you guys pretty much had the number one seed locked in a month before the regular season ended last year. How much are you going to be pushing for that this year? And I thought his response was really interesting. He said it's not a top one or two priority. So it's not a priority. He said the number one seed is not a priority. He said health and just having the starting five intact and rested and ready to go when the playoffs start are his top priorities. And he also dropped that the Nuggets are 24-8. They have a 75% win percentage when the starting five plays. That's a hell of a stat.
Yeah, that's a great stat. Did you find that interesting?
It's about what I expected,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
And what are
the top two priorities? Obviously, health. The second one is the top five intact. That sounds more like getting your rotation right.
That seems like the same priority.
It does, I was going to say.
So I don't know what number two is.
Right? It's just health and health is all that matters.
I didn't ask for a line-by-line list of priorities.
Totally.
Maybe I should have.
I wonder if he has that.
Yeah. But Malone also did say that, look, if we're the number one seed and that happens, great.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota's number one seed right now. Nuggets are three games back. But the Nuggets play the Timberwolves three more times this season.
Yeah.
So the number one seed, it's still there for the taking. Denver can still 100%. Get it. But his comments kind of go along the lines of what my sense has been. And I think he even said this on yesterday's show. I don't think them chasing the number one seed is going to be a thing. If it happens, cool. But I think as long as they're a top three seed, yeah, I believe that's the goal. Yeah. Just from talking to people around the team. Yeah. The four seed, I wouldn't love.
Four seed kind of sucks.
Because I don't want to play Phoenix in the first round.
That doesn't
even
sound
though
fun.
I'm not like scared of the Suns in the playoffs. I don't want to play them in the first round.
It's just too much of a high leverage round one series. You'd like three high leverage series and maybe an easier one you can get the wheels churning for the playoffs. Yeah.
And I'd also want to play Phoenix after they maybe go a round or two and maybe some injuries pile up for
exactly.
them.
Yep.
But I think a top three seed is what the Nuggets want. Malone said, I don't want to lose the battle, or I don't want to win the battle and lose the war in terms of pressing for the number one seed.
Okay. I get that. That's a good perspective to have. That's interesting. But yeah. I like it. They've got the experience. They're the more veteran group. They can handle winning some road games, right?
Yeah. Another note from practice. This came on Tuesday's practice. I don't know if you've heard, the Nuggets have the 28th ranked transition offense in the NBA. They're bad scoring in transition.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Is that because the NBA doesn't know how to run transition? Run the fast break?
Especially the Nuggets. They don't know how to run fast breaks.
No kidding. Gross.
Yeah. But just points per possession. Their efficiency in transition is terrible this year. And it's really weird because normally this is a really good transition team.
Right.
Michael Porter Jr. yesterday didn't seem very worried about it.
Yeah.
Michael Malone acknowledges that it's a thing, but I don't think he's like overly concerned about it.
Uh-huh.
But Michael Porter did say they've been doing like 3-on-2 drills in practice,
wow,
which I just love.
A little 3-man weave with the boys.
A little 3-on-2, 2-on-1.
Oh, dude. Those were my favorite drills when I played high school hoops. I could actually do something with the unfair advantage. Okay, well, let's hope that works, Harrison. That's an area where they've really missed Bruce.
You think?
And maybe Pickett, or like if Reggie was a little better. Of course, Mike's not worried. Mike's just going to, on the fast break, he's going to pull up from three. He doesn't care. He's just going to launch without a care in the world on the fast break.
Yeah. I mean, look, fast breaks in the NBA, it seems like if you get an open three, you're taking it every time.
Yep.
I don't care about the math. I don't care about the analytics on it. If you have a 3-on-2 fast break in the NBA, you can get a dunk every single time.
Correct.
The defense will give that to you if you just run the fast break correctly.
Correct.
And it just gets on my nerves that guys will just settle for the three, even if they make it sometimes.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve for me too. And I still think an open dunk is a better shot than an open three. Call me crazy.
The nerds might disagree with you.
I know. It probably doesn't work out
based on who's taking it. My final notes from practice here on the injury front. Nikola Jokic got Tuesday off. They just gave him the day off, like we speculated on the show.
I'm sure Colin got the same treatment.
I actually don't know if Colin got the day off, too.
It's such a great shtick. It's such a great
He was there today. I did see Colin today.
Oh, good.
So Yoke was back at practice today as well.
Yeah.
Looked like he was in pretty good spirits. He was in a good mood. And Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who went into the All-Star break with injuries and missed that last game, are right. back and ready to go and are on track to play Thursday.
Terrific. Is anyone else missing time then?
The only other guy that could be injured, I believe, is Hunter Tyson, who
yeah.
broke a finger, I think, in the G League.
Oh, geez.
He was at practice today. He's with the team right now, and he had some tape around his hand. And then Strother's the other guy.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Yeah, what's going on with Strother?
I think he's good. He was practicing today. Like, he was good. In That's practice great. Gear and whatnot. But the injury report should be dropping soon. It might actually be out right now. Let me Excellent. Check real quick.
Where's Pickett spending his time these days? Was he at practice?
I believe he is in Denver, yes.
All right. All right. It sounds like we've got a full squad here.
We do have the injury report.
Drum roll.
We've got Jamal Murray, KCP, and Julian Strother all probable.
Let's go.
So Good. Expected to Good. Play.
Excellent. I love that.
And then Hunter Tyson is out.
Oh, boy. Get better, Hunter.
Another note from practice. Final note. Final note.
Please.
Vlatko Chanchar, not expected to play this year, though.
Yeah.
But is starting to participate in practice a little bit.
Okay.
Getting in the mix, okay. doing some drills, getting up and down, running.
Extra practice body.
Yeah.
It's good. Good for Vlatko.
So, I mean, there was some speculation from me that
nice.
Maybe he would be a guy you would trade at the deadline to get another body in here to help you with the stretch run. Maybe he'd be the guy you cut if you're signing a buyout guy.
Right.
Again, I don't expect to happen. The Nuggets, from what I've been told, are not signing a buyout guy. This is their team. But he's still on the roster. He's got a team option for next year. No, I think Denver picks that up, and he's back on the roster next season.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a change from what you thought earlier in the season when the injury first happened? I mean, yeah, you just said you thought he'd be the likeliest to be cut. And
yeah, potentially, but I think you can look at it as, all right, like he can play the Justin Holliday role next season,
Uh-huh.
And I don't think Zeke Nnaji will be here next year. I think the Nuggets will trade him this summer.
Yeah.
And I think Vlatko maybe is, your ninth or tenth man next year.
I'd love that. He's played really well with Slovenia. There were stretches last year where I thought in the same role he was better than Uncle Jeff.
Yeah.
So I'd love that.
All right, let's hit a break. On the other side, is Nikola Jokic the unquestioned face of Denver sports? And who are the top five faces of Denver sports?
Beautiful.
We'll talk about that here in a second. First, though, very excited about these new guys who we brought on board. Miller Lite.
Miller time.
Miller time. I got a confession to make, Dre.
Yes.
Right now, I'm one Miller Lite deep.
Are you really? Oh,
yeah.
Man. I didn't realize that.
I'm
I
one Miller Lite deep you. Right now.
That's great. I mean, it's your last day before Nuggets basketball. You've seen two practices. You can let your hair down.
Yeah. The fridge upstairs just stocked with Miller Lite.
It's a good time. Look at this beautiful Miller Lite sign that Kale put on set. When it's four of you on set, you'll be able to see it better. There's Jokic
cool.
in the middle and Kale McCarr to the left
that
there. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty dope. All right.
Guys, Miller Lite, perfect for any occasion, hanging out with some friends, at a Nuggets game, watching a Nuggets game, at a park, at a bar or something. Miller Lite tastes great all the time. You can get Miller Lite pretty much wherever, they sell beer. Miller Lite brewed for taste. It just hits different than other light beers. Like, there are a lot of light beers out there. A lot of them just taste like water.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Miller Lite, it actually has some great taste to it. Simpler ingredients, just 96 calories as well. When you hit the other side of 30 like I have in the last couple of years, suddenly I'm thinking about calories.
Yeah,
just 96 calories, 3.2 grams of carbs per 12 ounces. Miller Time, always a good time. The original light beer since 1975.
Beautiful stuff.
Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. MillerLite.com/DNVR. If you go there, you can find a delivery option right near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Also, make sure to check out Bet365. You can bet on Nikola Jokic to get a triple-double tomorrow on triple-double day. I wonder if Bet365 can get on the triple-double day train tomorrow.
Stay tuned. They do give us custom bets. They do. Maybe I've already put that on a schedule sheet for them, knowing what was coming. But stay tuned. You never know if Nux will be on the app tomorrow. It's the only place where Nux is on the app, though, so I can tell you that much.
Use code DMVR365 to sign up. You can hit that QR code there on the screen or download the app on your phone. Just go to the app store. Bet365, they got awesome custom bets based on where you are. If you're in Denver, you're going to be able to bet, the DNVR custom bets as well.
So great.
So download the app. Use code DNVR365 to sign up. Bet along with us.
Yes.
Dev will be here tomorrow giving out bets on the pregame show again. Bet365, it's, the app we use, so download it today. Must be 21 plus, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Really nicely done, Harrison.
No, thank you. All right, we're back here. DNVR Nuggets podcast, the DNBA show presented by Bet365. Ordinary. I got a Bet365 top five for us on this Wednesday.
Heck yeah.
And we are going to go over the top five faces of Denver sports.
Currently. I was meant for this topic, Harrison.
Top five faces of Denver sports. They have to be on one of the big
four
teams in Denver.
That's right.
Coaches are in this too.
Yeah, they are faces of Denver sports. If you wanted a GM or an owner, could be it. I don't think a GM or owner is the face, though. Certainly not top five.
If we had a Jerry Jones, or if we had a John Elway.
Right? Pat Bowlen back in the day.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's get to this, though. Let's start with some honorable mentions, actually.
Please.
Honorable mentions. Let me see here. I've got Aaron Gordon as an honorable mention.
I think so. Mr. Nugget himself.
Didn't quite make the cut for me, though. Man of the people.
Yeah.
For being, at best, a third best guy on the best team in Colorado, I think. He deserves an argument just because he is such a face. Yep. Out partying in the streets with people after the championship.
And there's some more widespread notoriety he has as such an amazing dunker. And obviously, he's a big deal hooper and has been for a really long time between his Arizona days and being a prep star and what have
you. Slam dunk contest.
Yep. Yeah. But just not quite to crack the top five.
Yeah. Another honorable mention I've got is Michael Malone. He just missed the cut for me. He just missed out on the five spot for me.
When we unveil the top five, I think there could be a really solid argument that's made for Eminem and him being
For who?
Eminem, man. Michael Malone. Oh. It's just another nickname,
I've never heard that before.
But it works. Eminem. It works. I'm telling you.
I don't know about that.
Oh, boy. Especially post-parade. He's right there. He's right there.
I mean, during the playoffs, man.
To some, he has a face.
In the parade, he might have been in the top five for sure.
Ever since the bubble, when Moch was talking about, someone asked him, Doc Rivers and the Clippers staff, they're wearing their salmon-colored polos. They've got a pretty good record in those. They bring them good luck. And he said, we're wearing our Johnny Cash all blacks. I think we've got a pretty good record with those, too.
Such a hard line, man.
God, he's such a legend.
That went so hard.
That's the best.
Yeah. And then the parade performance just cemented him as an all-time Denver sports figure, I think. But absolutely. He's shifted into a little bit more of the background this year, I'd say. I also had Russell Wilson as an honorable mention. I mean, he seems like he's on his way out of Denver.
Yeah. But whether you like it or not, he's a face.
If he was better, he could crack the top five, I'd say.
Frankly, this shows that not all faces are necessarily positive.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to number five, though. So I'm curious what you think about this. I had Sean Payton as number five. Part of this was, for as bad as the Broncos are, they probably need somebody
on this list. I know. That's what's like the underlying topic of this whole top five is we're in a very interesting era of Denver sports where it's tough to make an argument for a Bronco in the top five.
And what other Bronco would it be? I think
it's like Russell Wilson, maybe Patrick Surtain.
To me, it's Justin Simmons if I had to pick somebody.
That's a good one.
But still, it's like,
yeah.
I feel like Sean Payton is the face of the Broncos right now.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And as you said, if Elway was still involved, maybe he would crack this top five. Russell Wilson deserves an honorable mention. Give it to Sean Payton. I think an argument could be made for Malone over Payton, though.
I think you could.
Yeah,
potentially. Yeah, let me know in the comments what you guys think, who's in your top five Denver sports faces as well. Number four, Cale Makar. Number four, Cale Makar.
I think that's right. I wonder how much widespread appeal Cale has. In the hockey world, he's almost Mahomes-esque in just this guy that's come up and like had success at all levels. I don't know that there's even a basketball comparison. Maybe like Steph Curry when he was coming up, where he was starring college and then had pretty immediate success and kind of broke the league like very early in his career. It's just, I wonder, like, how many Nuggets fans are that familiar with Cale Makar?
Right. I mean, Cale Makar, he has the potential. Eric Lacroix of our DNVR Av show says this all the time. He has the potential to be the greatest defenseman of all time.
Right. Yeah, that's saying something.
But, like, face of Denver sports, though.
I know, and he hasn't necessarily taken that mantle, right? He's a guy who in some ways is happier to kind of stay in the background a little more, right? Yeah.
But I also think that's kind of hockey guys in general, too.
Yeah.
It's very tough, I think, for a hockey player to be the face of Denver sports, of a sports town.
I think that's true. And I think outside of certain markets, like maybe Pittsburgh, Chicago, it's pretty hard for a hockey guy to be the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Which is maybe why we have someone else higher than Cale Makar.
And we were thinking about the order of these guys at three and four. But at number three, we've got Jamal Murray. And this was tough. I think, you know, like, who is the better player in their respective sport?
Yep.
It's Cale Makar.
No doubt.
No doubt about it. But, I mean, coming off the championship right now.
Yeah.
If I try to be an unbiased observer, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jamal Murray edges him out slightly.
No, and to defend your unbiased observerism, face of different from better or will have the better career or more potential to be on the Denver Sports Mount Rushmore or whatever. This is face of, and with what Jamal Murray not only did in that playoff run, but did in the bubble. What he means to the city, what he meant to that championship run, the fact that he's like the face of the New Balance campaign they unveiled this year. All that, I think, adds up to where, yeah, he is more of a face of Denver sports. And even moments this season, I think, you know, the performance against the Celtics, some of those big games he's had in big nationally televised games, a little more juice than anything Cale Makar's done this year.
Yeah. Number two, Nathan MacKinnon. I feel like that was pretty easy to put him there. He's on track to win MVP of the NHL, the Hart Trophy, this year. He's having an unbelievable season.
Incredible.
Like the most electrifying player in the NHL right now.
Right. Truly becoming one of the faces of the league. And a very worthy 1-2 here.
And then number one, Nikola Jokic, of course. And the conclusion that I feel like we can come to with this is that Nikola Jokic is unquestionably the face of Denver sports right now. It's not even an argument.
No, it really isn't. One and two, in fact, aren't really an argument and are kind of in tiers of their own.
Yeah.
And I think Jokic in a slightly different tier from McKinnon as well.
Yeah.
Just because of what the NBA is and the two MVPs and all that.
Yeah. The other guy that we thought about potentially putting on here was Deion Sanders, Coach Prime.
Yeah.
But we just kind of had it as the, you know, big four in Denver sports.
Yeah.
He feels kind of in a separate category.
Yep.
Like he's the face. He actually might be like the face of an entire sport.
Yes. He's more like the face of college football than he is like just Denver sports.
Yeah.
Also, Boulder not in Denver, as you know well.
40 minutes. A little suburb.
Right, right.
I'm actually going to be in Boulder on Friday. I'm speaking on a panel on Friday.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah. CU Boulder Sports Media Professional Panel.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be windy. Watch out, guys. It's going to be real windy.
Dropping some knowledge on the kids.
Dude, I love that for us. That's great.
All right. So let us know what you think of our Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5.
Right.
If we had any omissions, what you think of the Top 5. If we got the order right, let us know.
Yep.
In the chat, on Twitter, wherever. Let's hit a break. We got the mailbag coming up on the other side. A lot of great questions, including, will Denver ever host the All-Star game? We will talk about that in 1 second. Guys, if you have any roofing needs, check out our friends at Red Hawk Roofing, the best in the business.
Yes, sir.
They know roofing. Quality materials, decades of experience, quick response time, Colorado's best estimators and contractors. They're also huge DNVR people, so you'll probably see them at the bar watching the Nuggets games, rooting on the Nuggets games with us. Go talk to them. Go say what's up.
Right.
Talk about roofs with them.
Yeah, they know their stuff. They know roofs.
If you're looking for a new roof over your home or business, be sure to check out Red Hawk Roofing, redhawkroofing.com. Tell them DNVR sent you.
Yeah, let them know.
Also, guys, make sure to check out Premier Members Credit Union. There are a lot of financial institutions out there. There are a lot of banks, a lot of credit unions. Premier Members Credit Union is different because they serve the community. They serve the Colorado community in particular. Local branches, friendly tellers, and they've got all the tools that you need to save smarter. So they've got new high yield savings accounts. You can earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with their reverse tier money market. They're not a bank, which means they do things differently. They put their members first with higher savings interests and lower loan rates. So Premier Members Credit Union, they're Colorado, they're local, they're all about customer service. They care about you as a client. So when you become a new member at PMCU, they'll actually give you $200. They'll just give you $200. You just have to open a checking account and sign up for their e-statements. It's that easy. This will be your best money move yet. Head to becomepremier.com, becomepremier.com to find out more. Free $200 just for signing up.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
All right, back here on the DMVR Nuggets podcast, presented by Bet365, Never Ordinary. Nice. Harrison Wynn and Andre Simone here on a Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the mailbag. Got a bunch of good mailbag questions here. This one comes from Mike Weiss.
Hell yeah.
The West is unquestionably more competitive than last year. What does the Nuggets' loss in the postseason look like? What are the consequences of such, and what would the offseason contain? Do you think if the Nuggets were to have an early exit in the playoffs, there would be significant changes?
No, I don't think so.
And I'm talking like changing up the starting five.
I don't think significant. Win or lose, I think the starting five could get shaken up because there's a KCP situation looming this offseason regardless. Yeah. Massively shooken up? No. And I also think, the way Kelvin Booth has built this roster is, there's a Project Dynasty, right? So a little.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to Mr. Project Dynasty.
I know, man. So I think it's built in, like not panicking and, gosh, having a little patience and more of a long-term view. And yeah, what do you think? That's really what matters, though.
So if they like lose in the finals,
that's the other thing.
Lose in the conference finals. Yep.
Not all eliminations are created equal.
Right. You're probably just running it back still.
Exactly. Exactly.
Early
exit.
A first round exit.
Right. Right.
I mean, that would be pretty alarming. Granted, yeah, it's not due to health or anything like that or an injury.
Right.
But even with that being said, like, what's the change that you would make? That's a lot of people would point to like a Michael Porter Jr. trade. Guys, I don't know who's going to trade for Michael Porter Jr. on this contract. I would wager like not any teams. Then the one thing that you mentioned, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, obviously a player option this summer, which I expect him to decline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the Nuggets will try to re-sign him, but he'll have suitors.
Yeah.
One team I heard is interested in KCP.
Mavs.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Who
have loaded up in cap room and are going to make a splash this summer.
Gross.
I've heard that they might have KCP in their sights. So
fit very well.
It's a question, you know, if he comes back, you know, I still think there's a good chance he comes back. He obviously loves Denver. Maybe he'll have to take a little hometown discount to stay. So that could be how there's change as well. But if I had to predict, I'd say not a ton of change, especially with the starting five, you know.
Win or lose.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's hope.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to another mailbag question here. This one comes from A-Train. Will Denver ever host All-Star Weekend in the Jokic-Murray era? I feel like the odds that Murray gets in would go way up if they were hosting. I would agree with that second part there. I don't know if you saw this, Dre, though. The NBA has come out with requirements for hosting the All-Star game.
Oh, man. What's happening to this league? Really getting nerdy about the requirements, huh?
There are firm requirements, it seems. First, you have to have 7,250 hotel rooms in a minimum of 3 5-star hotels. You need a convention center of 650,000 square feet of exhibition space, and you need 75 nonstop domestic flights and at least 20 international flights. So I actually did some research here.
Yeah, what NBA cities don't have these, Harrison? I feel like that's a quicker list than the other way.
Denver, that's one.
Hell yeah.
Denver does not have one of these.
So we're out. It's over.
Per my research, Denver only has 2 5-star hotels.
That's where they get us. Four Seasons
and the Ritz.
That's where they get us.
Therefore, they are not eligible to host an All-Star game right now.
Does the Denver Metro?
I thought the
Metro?
Brown Palace might be 5-star. It's a 4-star.
Jeez. Get your stats up, Brown Palace. Come on. Can we extend it to Denver Metro? Is there a 5-star in Boulder that we can be like, it's just a 40-mile drive?
I don't know what the circumference, like, distance radius is.
If T-Swift is here for All-Star Week, couldn't she just stay at a 5-star hotel in Aspen and then take the jet down to Denver for
the game?
I think
Aspen would be outside the...
Yeah, you. I should hope so. I should hope so. It's a trek.
But I could be wrong. Per my short amount of research that I did, there's 2 5-star hotels, so Denver is not eligible.
Right. Jeez, now. This is sad, Harrison. This is this. Have they somehow done this?
Indianapolis has 3 5-star hotels.
Is this retaliation for Shotgun Willie's ruining John Morant's career? Like, what is the NBA... what's going on here? Do you think this is personal?
No. I mean, if I want to go conspiracy corner,
let's go.
This is Adam Silver wanting the All-Star game in big markets from here on out. He's done with the Indianas of the world. He's done with the Salt Lake Cities. Funny enough, Andre, do you know where All-Star Weekend is next year?
Oh, God. Is it Salt Lake?
No.
Is it New Orleans?
It's San Francisco. It's the Bay Area. Who definitely has 3 5-star hotels.
They check off those. All those hotels and the flights. They definitely have the flights in the Bay Area. Okay, fair. You got us, San Francisco.
So right now, to the mailbag question, they won't be hosting an All-Star weekend.
Yeah, we're out. We're out. Okay.
We're out. We're ineligible.
Hate to break it to you, but nope.
Dang, so, yeah, man, unfortunate.
That's tough.
I wonder what the process is from going from a 4-star to a 5-star hotel. How long of a process is that? What are the benchmarks you have to hit?
I would have bet my life the Brown Palace was a 5-star.
I thought so too. Shit. It's apparently a 4-star.
Dang.
Very nice though.
We gotta get our stats up. This is not working. We gotta get the stats up.
Oh man.
Wow.
I wonder if one of the hotels in the Cronkies Real Estate Endeavor River Mile will be 5-star evaluation.
Great. Come on, guys, get it done.
So I have the answer as to what the difference between a 4- and 5-star hotel is.
Okay.
It is the amount of personalized, luxurious experiences you offer to your guests.
That seems like you'd be easily able to fudge that.
Yeah, we that's could fake so that. Like right. That's
so like spa. That kind of thing?
It doesn't specifically require
But lifestyle is so broad.
That.
It's like you like said. You could between, fudge that for
like workout classes. Like
so the difference between a 3- and a 4-star hotel has to do with having fine dining on premise.
Uh-huh.
But then difference between 4 and 5, it's like way less defined than that.
Yeah, you're definitely right. It's some
they
like
probably
premium
just
amenities.
Deliver like an unmarked bag of money to the... 5-star hotel commission.
Right. Adam Silver's eligibility for All-Star games is the same as college football recruiting. Just like leave a bag on the front step and we'll know the transaction's complete.
You have another star all of a sudden next to your name.
That's right. Easy peasy.
Okay. Glad we got to the bottom of that.
Oh, man. That's great.
All right. Let's move on here. Next mailbag question. This one comes from Matthew Kimura. If you were to choose any combination of logo, jersey, and court for the Nuggets to use, which ones would be your favorite? Do you have a favorite Nuggets jersey?
Yeah. Like most people, I just like the one that they wore when I was a kid when they were literally terrible. It's the navy blue with the red trim that, you know, they won the playoff series against the Sonics in 94 as
really?
An 8 seed. Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite.
The navy blues.
Yeah, it's actually also your Slack profile. It's Jalen Rose rocking that in the Slack
that
profile.
That is my Slack it's profile. That jersey.
I own one with Chauncey's number one on it. Yeah, that's my favorite. I had a poster as
I've
a kid with
ever
Tony
heard,
McDice.
Somebody say that's their favorite before.
Yeah, because it's not a great vibes jersey.
Yeah.
But as a jersey and logo, I like it. What's yours?
The Mile High Cities.
Which iteration? The current ones or the original Mile High Cities? Because they're slightly different.
Yeah, I mean, the newer ones just look a little cleaner. They look like more like a jersey. But the originals I might like more just because they were so unique.
Yeah.
They look like a soccer jersey.
That's true.
Kind of.
Those are pretty sweet. And, I mean, you can never go wrong with a rainbow skyline. I love the Rainbow Skyline. Rainbow Skyline was my personality
what
for
What color
many
Rainbow
years.
Skyline is your favorite?
I think the black upgraded on the original.
The black, yeah. I think the black is pretty.
The black
the
goes
best.
Hard.
In terms of logos, I would probably say my favorite is either like... the Skyline one, the Rainbow Skyline,
totally.
Or just Maxi the Miner by himself.
Yep. That one's pretty sweet.
And then in terms of court, I don't know. The Nuggets have never had that memorable of courts.
No, I'm trying to think of like way back in the day, some ABA crazy looks, which maybe are cool and funky. But
I mean, at the beginning of the Jokic era, they had the pickaxes, like huge actually, on the court. I don't know if you remember that.
Those were kind of cool.
And then they had at one point, did they have the Skyline on the side, or was that a different court?
Well, they had a court that had the secondary logo that has the Skyline in it as the center emblem
for a while. Yeah.
That was really cool,
That
too.
Was cool. Yeah, I like that court. But I always think teams can do more stuff with personalizing their courts than they do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Good question, though. Let's hit our final break. On the other side, we'll get to some other mailbag questions. Guys at American Financing, they are helping save their customers an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity and wiping out high interest credit card debt. American Financing is an awesome company. They are all about Colorado. They're all about helping Colorado people. And they're all about customer service, too. If you go to their Google reviews, people that have used American Financing, customer service is their number one priority. When you call them up at 303-695-7000, you're not getting just some random person in a call center somewhere. You're getting somebody here that's actually going to help you throughout the entire process of refinancing and trying to save money. $854 a month. That's how much they're saving their customers on average right now.
Yeah,
their salary-based mortgage consultants are in it for you.
Right.
There is no incentive for them to put you in a loan that does not make sense. They're not working on commission, so they're not going to try to... They're not going to try to cut corners. Like, they're not going to sleazeball you into some deal.
Exactly.
They're going to treat you right. So give these guys a call today. American Financing. If you call today, you may be able to delay two mortgage payments. Call today. Tell them DNVR sent you. 303-695-7000 or go to americanfinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Also, Empire Today, they are who you need for all your flooring needs. Mm-hmm. The best in the business. They've been the premier flooring experts in Colorado forever.
They know floors.
You've probably heard the jingle before. You can schedule a free in-home estimate today, and all listeners get $350 off when they use the promo code DNVR. So go to empiretoday.com/DNVR. If you're getting new floors in your home, office, wherever, they're your go-to.
Right.
$350 off when you use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details.
Remember Michael Jordan on the mic was like, the ceiling is the roof?
The what?
The ceiling is the roof, or the roof is the ceiling? I don't know. He's talking about Carolina and something, and he got... That was like a quote for a minute. Empire, their ceiling is the floor. The floors is all they do, you know? So that's their ceiling. Okay, sorry, Harrison.
I like it. If Empire Today needs any new marketing, feel free to use that one.
Hell yeah.
I don't think anybody else will.
I think now that I've workshopped it, I'll leave out the Jordan quote that no one remembers. Yeah. We'll go straight to that.
All right, let's rapid fire here through these last mailbag questions. What else do we got here? This comes from Ethan. What's your worst Nuggets take from the past? Mine was that Gary Harris is better than Klay Thompson.
Wow, that's awesome. What a great take. Oh, man. Gosh, I'm going to need a second on this one.
I think... One of my takes at one point was Jeremy Grant was a better fit for the Nuggets than Michael Porter.
Hell yeah.
That was a bad
Good
take.
One. Good
bad
one.
Take. I just thought, like, from a defensive perspective.
Sure,
but
sure.
Michael Porter's improved leaps and bounds as a defender since then, and he's obviously a much better offensive player than Jeremy Grant, too.
The format of that terrible take, I mean, you could literally go season by season, and I thought Ty Lawson would be the next Tony Parker. I thought Bol Bol was going to be whatever. Like, every single year, I thought Evan Fournier was Ginobili-esque. I mean, I just give me a long enough summer to watch these clips of these guys, and I'll talk myself into anyone that was drafted by the Nuggets. J.R. Smith is the next Kobe. I mean, you know, you name it. Like, I'll totally convince myself of anything.
Romney's in the comments says his worst take is Quincy Miller would be our Kevin Durant.
Dude.
That might have been your take, too.
I was super high on Quincy Miller.
A lot of people were.
Met him at the Cherry Creek Mall. I mean, oh, Quincy
and Anthony Randolph people were also very high on. The Nuggets were so high on him, they gave him number 15.
How dare they? How dare they? How disrespectful.
Yeah, draft takes now for sure. Like, we could talk ourselves into anybody.
Absolutely.
That's Nuggets draft.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, Hunter Tyson, all first team summer leaguer. Come on. Right off the bat.
That's right. Not bad.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll try to think of some more.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some actually really terrible ones. I just need to dig deeper.
Kale?
I mean, like, I'll just say, like, we were despondent as a podcast when the Nuggets traded up and drafted Peyton Watson. Like, as a podcast, like, we all thought it was horrible.
Right.
Right. Like, as did every other podcast.
Yeah. Exactly. All you could say is, like, he didn't even average 2 points in college.
Right. Oh, like, why are the Nuggets drafting a guy who couldn't even play in college?
And I mean, like, find me around the Iverson trade, the takes would have been crazy for young 20-year-old Andre. I mean, just.
I will say, we might have nailed the Zeke Nagy take.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, yep. Nailed it.
Even though we didn't know anything about him.
Yeah, sad.
Go back and watch our reaction to that pick on the draft show that year. Yeah. You can find it if you really want to. All right, what else we got here? Matthew Hedges, how much playing time will Strother get? Will he make the playoff appearance? I don't think we've heard the last from Julian Strother this season. I bet he gets another crack at rotation minutes.
Yeah.
Is he a playoff guy? Probably not, though. I'd say he is your... If we see Julian Strother in the playoffs, it's probably not good. Like, the Nuggets probably aren't playing well if we see Julian Strother in the playoffs.
Outside of garbage time. I just remember, like, DJ ended up getting, like, 45 seconds last year in the playoffs that no one expected him to get. Could Strother do that?
Yeah.
Reggie had, like, two possessions where it was like, oh, my God, Reggie Jackson's playing in the playoffs right now. What has happened?
I could see Strother coming in. End of third quarter in a game where the bench just can't get anything going on offense. And you're trying to get, you know, just instant offense out of him.
A bit of a rage substitution for 40 seconds.
I can see that for sure.
Yeah, I could too. Yep.
All right, what else we got here? Nuked, do you think the Thunder are a real mismatch for the Nuggets, or do you think the regular season matchups we saw are not indicative of how the playoffs will go? Are you scared of the Thunder?
Not so much, but more because bright minds are telling me I shouldn't be too concerned. Frankly, when I watch them, they do scare me a little bit. That spacing and length and depth concerns me. Mm.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're a really good team, no doubt. I'm just not as worried about them as I am about other teams in the West. Like, they're...
And the matchup specifically doesn't present the concerns other matchups.
They're second in the West right now. I would still be more worried about playing the Clippers, who are below them.
Yeah.
I'd probably be even more worried about playing the Suns, who are below them as well.
And the T-Wolves size and that matchup
definitely
presents more
the T-Wolves are a tougher matchup. I just think with the Thunder, they have obviously no answer for Jokic.
Yep.
And that, to me, is where every playoff matchup starts.
Yep.
How is this team guarding Jokic? And, I mean, nobody can guard Jokic. Nobody has really an answer for him. But the Thunder, the Thunder, like...
truly are answerless.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then of all those teams, going to SGA in the half court at the end of a game concerns me the least of all those other head-to-head matchups, right?
And I'm also just a firm believer that you have to pay your dues in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Great team has to. The Warriors even had to back in the day. Like, you have to get humbled a bit, I think, in the playoffs before you actually go on a real run.
Yeah.
So I think the Thunder are good. I think they could be building, like, kind of a dynasty for real. But I'm not overly concerned about them just from a matchup perspective.
Yeah.
What else do we got in the mailbag from Jake? Is there any possibility that the playoff rotation changes? And if so, who are the most likely additions, subtractions? So, I mean, you got the top eight, the starters with Reggie, Christian, and Pewat. There's your top eight that's playing every night.
Yep.
If they go to a backup center like they needed to last year when DJ played, I bet it's DJ again.
Yep.
And then if you're looking for another guy off the bench... Justin Holliday or Julian Strother. I could actually see a scenario where, like, based on what the Nuggets need, I actually bet it's Justin Holliday.
100%.
I bet it's Holiday.
Just remembering how Reggie Jackson and DeAndre Jordan played the weird, like, couple possessions randomly in the playoffs last year made me think Justin Holiday's totally doing that this postseason.
Yeah.
It's literally going to be three possessions and then a quick sub. Yeah. You know, we won't. But yeah, if there's any change or like the slightest tweak, that's what I would foresee.
Yeah. I bet that's what it is. If they need a big, it's DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan.
Like it was last year. If they need a guard, it's Justin Holliday. Yeah. And then Julian Strother's next up after that.
100%. 100% agree.
All right. Last question here. Craig Brown, do you guys think MPJ and KCP will get hot in the playoffs? I believe you never want to get hot, too hot in the regular season, and you want to catch fire in the playoffs, which Nuggets did. I feel like the looks are there, just a lack of volume percentage. There's been some consternation about the Nuggets offense, you know? They've dropped in ranking from last year.
Yes.
But I did see, you know, a friend of the show, Matt Brooks, Nuggets.com, put on Twitter today that they actually have a very similar offensive efficiency to last season. It's just the league has gotten better.
Right.
And the bench offense still sucks.
Yeah.
I have zero concerns about the Nuggets offense in the playoffs. I really do. Zero concerns. My only slight worry is that like they can't score with Jokic off the court. But I mean, we know that. Like we know that's a worry.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, there'll have to be those stretches where like just like against the Heat in that quarter where Jokic barely played and like Jamal was just hitting some big shots where you just kind of got to get lucky and have someone get hot. But yeah, that's where I'm at, man, is like the efficiency of that offense and that two-man game and how well that starting five works, especially in crunch time, gives me the confidence. And I think similar to like Mahomes and the Chiefs in the NFL, until I see someone take it to the Nuggets at their own game and beat them in crunch time, I'm going to give the Nuggets the edge.
Yeah. Real quick, I did want to get to this question from the boy's dad. And we can just hit it real quick before we get out of here.
Yeah.
He asked, what are the five best wins, five worst losses, five craziest nights in the bar?
Oh,
the
man.
Craziest night I actually can remember off the top of my head, low-key underrated, is when the Nuggets beat the Clippers with the bailout. It wasn't like the craziest, most packed night in the bar. It's just that there was a very diehard crowd here and we were all like going wild. It was like that's one of those what one. The hell is happening nights.
That's a great one.
Well, because it came out early that everybody was out, so like nobody came to the bar, but like the diehards of the diehards.
There was like 20 people here,
and we all lost our minds.
I remember seeing photos of that. That was a crazy one. I think Boat
was like doing laps downstairs, just out of control.
I remember that. Game 7 against the Jazz, where Conley misses the open look at the very end after...
If we're talking all-time nights...
Who misses the open layup there?
It was...
on our end?
Torrey Craig.
Torrey almost destroys the whole dynasty. Just
had to shoot that, you know?
Holy shit.
But yeah, if we're talking all-time nights, that night, the Clippers 3-1 comeback for sure.
That one's a crazy
one. But nights this season, when I was thinking back... The bailout in L.A., Reggie Jackson's bailout, is the first thing that came to mind.
That's a great one.
That was an all-time night at the bar.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Obviously, you got the winner for the Celtics. Jokic's game winner, too.
Yep.
Big, memorable moments from this year.
Yeah.
Those are all up there, too. Guys, thanks for the questions. Thanks for hanging out with us today, me and Andre.
Love it. I think
the fellas are back tomorrow.
Let's hope.
I think
let's
the rest hope. Of the fellas are back tomorrow.
I'll start sending out texts and emails if they're not.
Nuggets Wizards Thursday night. Guys, Thursday, tomorrow, triple double day. Word out. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell everybody on Twitter. It's triple double day. Nikola Jokic needs a triple double against the Wizards to get a triple double against every team in the NBA. He can do it tomorrow. We'll talk to you guys then. We'll be right back.
the mayor.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.